you're here by divine appointment that God has brought you, and so therefore he's got something that he wants to reveal to you and speak to you about. And if you've not met David Apple before, David is a visiting pastor from the Nashville area, and he's also involved in several ministries there, and he works with Lifeway in Nashville. And so he's come a long way to share some of the great things that God has taught him over the years. And so if you've come to hear from God, not from a man, lean in, and God has got something for you, okay? And join me in prayer, if you would, please. Holy Father, we bow down at your throne of grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that calls us. You are the one that assigns us. You are the one that says that you have a purpose and plan for us. And we believe that, Father. We're asking for all that you can give us tonight to change us into the men and women that you've designed us to be. Father, I'm asking that you would open our minds and hearts so that we could hear from you clearly. Through David, use your servant to stir him up, that the Holy Spirit might use him to speak to us. Lord, tell us what it is you would have us understand for each of our lives. Change us, Lord, tonight, that we're not the same people that will go home tonight as when we came. We just ask for your presence here, Holy Spirit. Be with us, teach us. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Joanna. Man, it's good to see you guys. Thank you so much for not only coming, but for sticking around.
And I appreciate it. Don, my pleasure. Good to see you, sir.
I found out something about Ed just a few minutes ago that really relates to the picture on the screen. So I'm going to ask Ed to take a minute. I kind of prompted him. I borrowed this firefighting outfit. I'm not going to ask him to put it on. But Ed, you were a firefighter, right? Or have been, continue to be?
I continue to be. I'm a volunteer fireman, 35 years. I was also a brigade chief in my company's plant fire brigade.
What are a couple of things you feel like you've learned? We're all looking at the picture on the screen. We're also looking at the question that's up there. Not that you have to answer that question, but I am kind of curious, my brother. What are some things you felt like you've learned as a firefighter that would help us in our Bible study ministry through this church?
Safety. The gear you're wearing, you're carrying. Training. And experience. These three things help you work as a team to protect the lives of the people in your community.
Now, to me, that was worth the whole evening. I don't know if you wrote that down or not, but you need to. That was pretty good. Thank you, brother. I bet there's more things than you learned than just three. I told you to share three.
You said three.
That's right. And we'll be out of here before midnight. Did you all get a copy of this? I guess you call it a 10 color sheet. We didn't tell you to bring Bibles. But on the other hand, I'm going to ask you as homework. You got one? Thanks, John. John, you got a copy of the sheet?
Yes, sir.
Then here's your first assignment, and you will not be able to do this tonight. This will be done at your convenience later on. There are several passages of Scripture. All of them are representative from Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9. I mean, you can read that for yourself. You've read all these before, so it's not like there's anything new, but here's an observation. These are some of the individuals that Jesus encountered just in a very brief amount of time, and he was teaching his disciples the whole time. I had never noticed that before. So what I'd like for you to do at your convenience is look at the top of the sheet where it gives some instructions. I want you to imagine that you have been, or that you are part of a Bible study group where Jesus himself is the leader. What are some things we learn from him? Not just the content, not just the process, not just the kind of people. But frankly, I find that kind of interesting. Jenny, at your convenience, there's no wrong answers. It's not like, oh, wait a minute, you got it wrong. This could take you a long time. You could also just kind of scan, read it. But do you understand your homework? Joanne, you understand your homework?
Yes.
Okay, you don't have to turn this back into me, believe me.
Okay.
But I'm gonna work on this as well. Part of the assignment for the next 45 minutes in this room, we're gonna focus on our job as a teacher. We know that. I'm assuming, Bible teacher?
Becoming one.
Wonderful. Your job is to be a teacher. But it's not just to teach content, it's to also be a shepherd. At least that's the title of the session. I don't have a problem with that. Notice at the same time, all we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes is what does it mean to the eyes of a firefighter? You're looking at your job in a lot of different ways. There's one passage of scripture I am going to ask us to look at in this room for about 2 minutes. If you have your Bible or not, you could turn on your Bible or turn in your Bible. We didn't tell you to bring them. But if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to find from Matthew chapter 8 and 9. I think some of the last verses in chapter 9. I'm going to just list it up here. Now, is there someone who either has your Bible or is finding it open? John, you might find that just as easy. Ed, whoever finds it first. I want to ask somebody to read out loud the verses that are listed up here on the screen. John, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, whatever translation you have. John, I see you're thumbing through. Would you read that for us, brother?
Sure.
Why don't you listen to it? Listen to the assignment on the screen.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Yeah, first of all, I'll ask you a stupid question, and I'm not posing it to John. I'm asking us all. You ever read that before?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I thought so. This is not new. Nor am I asking you to recite it or to come up with a bunch of content, but here's my question. It's really on the screen. If all you knew about your role in your Bible study group was based on what you just read, what's one thing that you see as your job? Now, that's really a rhetorical question, because I'm not trying to say, I'll find something else, I'll get, what is it? But I really would like for us to kind of look at that. That's one of those favorite and well-beloved passages.
Be a disciple.
Okay, to be a learner, be a disciple. I think that's one thing it says. What else do you see? Thank you.
To be a laborer.
What does that mean to you?
I would say to help build, you know, relationships with your fellow men and help them build relationships with God.
And that's hard work. It's not just a pat response. Well said. What else do you see?
Show compassion.
Okay. Notice the word comes out very strong. Passion. Compassion. That's not just talk it. That's not just show it. That really is. That's a fascinating thing.
It's to live it.
And part of this is between you and me. I think part of what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 is he's demonstrating that all along. And then afterwards, he comes back and says, "Now that's what I want you to be doing." I think it would have been a little bit different for me, Jenny, had Jesus said at the beginning, read those verses to us, have compassion and all that kind of stuff, and then they may have had in their own mind what that meant. But I'm not sure. I just don't know.
But he had already shown them.
Okay. I never really noticed that until I started looking at this preparation for tonight. So this is intriguing to me. One of your homework assignments that you might want to do, you don't have to do it, is as you're looking on this tan sheet of paper, you could almost pick out any one of those individuals and kind of spend a little bit more time there. Some are easier than others. I'm not trying to make it hard. I just think sometimes you just, you know, in a matter of minutes, Jesus encounters someone. All of these are kind of quick encounters. This is not necessarily months or years. But Matthew does include his own testimony in here. Do you see that? that what it says? Yeah. So I think it's intriguing to find ourselves in the place where we are being the target of his compassion. And at the same time, we're able to help teach somebody else. Okay, so you know all that. Is that all right? Say yes.
Yes.
That's your homework. Did I give you a time frame on that?
I guess it had a convenience.
Okay, and that's true. But really, sometime between now and the end of next month. Okay. Convenience, yes. Don't do it tonight. I've got one more sheet of paper for you. We'll really spend the majority of our time. Joanne, I'll give you this here, and I'll take these here. White sheet of paper. There's not a whole lot on it. You will notice pretty much the word shepherd as an acrostic. We'll get to that in just a minute. Actually, Jenny, you could jump to that if you'd like. Here's my process. I'll kind of tell you. Eventually, we're going to come up with words or phrases that start with each of the letters in the word shepherd that will help us think about our job as a teacher. Okay. So between you and me, you can now phase me out and you can start working on that, but don't do that. Let me kind of guide you through it. Is that all right? Say yes. Thank you. There are three blanks at the top. At least for the sake of writing stuff down, let me invite you, and I'll use the screen here. Part of what I'm going to ask you to do, now, statement number one, we get to be a shepherd because we've been shepherded. Number two, we get to be a shepherd because we get to care for our flock. Third, part of our job is the shepherd because we are to raise up more shepherds. Now, you've already heard that tonight. Were you there with Pastor Greg? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is not the first time you've heard that kind of stuff. So, Jenny, that in a way, it's a whole lot easier for me to talk to us and say, okay, you're a teacher. Here's how you get ready for a lesson. Here's what you do during the Bible study. Here's how you start. Here's how you end. Here's how, you know. That's almost easier than to say you're raising up more shepherds. But I think that's really where Jesus is modeling most of this. Is that all right to say? Okay. That's the blanks. That's all we're going to have to write down as far as me telling you what to write. Now we're going to get to this other part. And I want you to help me because we're going to take each of these letters one at a time. We'll take them out of sequence. But I want us to start, matter of fact, let's start with the letter S and let's just brainstorm because there's going to be words or phrases that start with an S that will help you think about your job in your Bible study group. You're saying, I'm just getting started. Write the word started. It's got to start with an S. And let's take about 30 seconds. There's no wrong answer, but it's got to start with the letter S. What are some that you can think of?
Sheep.
Good. Okay. S. Continue. Salvation?
Oh, is this? Okay, I thought this was. Simplify.
Simplify. Thank you. Keep it simple. Wonderful. S. Someone else?
Savior.
Savior. So. That's really what we're going to be doing. Some of this will be a lot easier, but in this case, Jenny, got to start with that particular S. That particular letter.
I'm just not good at this.
That's all right. So. When you get on your own, that's right. I got you. That's fine. What if we take some of these out of sequence? Matter of fact, the next one. Look at the letter E. Now there's two E's. I'll let you choose which one you look at. There is a passage of scripture. At your convenience, I want you to look at. It's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34 is a powerful passage. We're not going to read it tonight, but it's at your convenience. It is just a remarkable passage. God talking to the people of Israel who had basically rebelled against him. And he is using the shepherd image. Part of the passage, he's talking about the false prophets or the false shepherds is really what he says. And then he moves to the point of saying, the people I have chosen, they have disappointed you and they have disappointed me. So I will be your shepherd. It's a beautiful imagery. And it's one of those things that your convenience, I think it's kind of fascinating just to kind of read through. Notice God is your shepherd. Oh, you've read that many times before. But this was intentional. And now he's asking you to help shepherd your group. So the letter E.
Early.
Early. Get there early.
Well, the shepherd has to be there.
Oh, the shepherd better be. Yeah, thank you very much. So the letter E can help us. I mean, really, we could spend some time on this if you'd like. What about for the sake of time? I'm going to pick some of these others, other letters. The letter H. Can you think of some words?
Help.
Help.
Hard.
Hard. Write them down if you'd like.
Hope.
Hope.
Holy.
Holy. Not that one's better than the other. I mean, write as many as you can. I'm just thinking of about words or phrases. And when I came to the letter H, I thought about harassed, mm-hmm. like people who were without a shepherd.
Here as in like hearing, and then here as in the location.
Okay, that's it. When you start thinking about, in this case, just a word or phrase that starts with a letter, you think of things you probably would not have ordinarily. But hooray for you. Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah. I am taking these out of sequence. Actually, we will look at all of these before they're over with. But let's just kind of keep on. For the sake of time, look at the letter R. I've got a little resource I'm going to give you. I have plenty of them. And so, matter of fact, I'm going to give you two. And you can take one and pass it on to someone else, maybe in your own Bible study group. I'll leave some of these for folks at the church, but you'll see the book. We will not read this tonight, okay? It's an easy read, but that's not our objective. The reason I've got this book for you is because it's talking about three roles. There's our R, three roles about your job in a class. And one of the roles, according to that, is to be a shepherd. One of the roles, according to this little booklet, is your job is to be a teacher. Now, what Jenny's already started, so take the book, all of you, just kind of glance, because as you thumb through the book, I'm not asking you to read it, but as you thumb through the book, you will see the book is organized. First of all, it's organized into three parts. Your job as a teacher, that's one part. Your job as a shepherd, that's one part. Your job as a leader, that's one part. But as you glance through the book, you'll also recognize a lot of words that start with the letter R.
Relationships.
Thank you. Matter of fact, you'll see that same word three different times.
Responsibilities.
Keep on talking.
Ruts. Resources.
Resources.
Routines.
Mm-hmm. Ruts.
Recruiting.
Recruiting.
Rewards.
Rewards. Now, what's interesting to me, not that you have to know all these words, but they all start with the letter R. It's kind of a memory tool, but Jenny, once you see those words with regard to a teaching responsibility, and it's not a lot of content there, but you can kind of glance at it. Then that second part of the book is the role of a shepherd. And it takes those same words, the responsibility, the relationships, the ruts, the rewards, and I can't remember the other
routines.
Routines, thank you.
Requirements.
So it does give you I call it a thumbnail, briefly overviewing some of the things that you and I can be doing. It's not an overload. It's just, I think it's very healthy and helpful. But what prompted me, we're just looking at words or phrases that start with the letter R. Let's stop for just a second. Matter of fact, while you got your book, was there one of those words as you glanced through it? I heard you say responsibility. One of those words that you say, that makes me interested in some of this other stuff. Or I've got a question about one of the responsibilities. Didn't want to stop you, didn't want to put you on the spot, but sometimes when we're glancing at some of these, it gives us an opportunity to raise some issues. I'm just going to pick one. I'm just glancing. Wonder what some of the results would be for you as a shepherd. What would be some results that you could experience or that your group would experience if you are or as you are a shepherd to them?
Community.
Sometimes that's overnight, sometimes that takes months. But that's one of
those. It's not overnight. Not ever.
Okay. Then let's just know that. What else do you see?
Shepherd's job is hard.
Explain. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, you have responsibilities, results, you know, relationships, roles. A shepherd sleeps out all night in the field with the sheep. And they have to watch over them carefully and keep bears and wolves and other things. They've got to keep them from running off of and getting, you know, into water and getting their wool all filled with water and drowning because they can't get out of a stream. A shepherd's job is so difficult. I don't know who'd want to be a shepherd.
Well, that's an interesting point. Thanks so much. Boy, what an encouragement.
there are a lot of shepherds, but,
yeah.
You know, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't think I want that role.
So I'm not trying to talk us out of something, but actually it's almost easier to enlist someone to be the teacher. Got to cover the content, got to get through the material, than it is, what I hear you say, to be the shepherd.
I think it's way easier.
Okay, now excuse me, you've been enlisted, you're going to be teaching, how soon?
We do Koinonia, it's a little small group, it starts in about a week.
Yeah. Now I'm putting you on the spot, have you led a group before?
I have not.
Listen to the prayer concerns here. Mm-hmm. How exciting for us to lift up your brother.
So we got two other teachers that we're going to rotate through, the three of us. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay.
Let me tell you something to look forward to. That's it. You will learn more than anyone in the class.
I'm hoping to. I mean, I'm hoping to feed myself just as much
you
as I am.
You will be feeding yourself so sheep. That you can feed them. And the Lord will give you words. Because there'll be times when you can't think of something on your own hook.
Okay. What a journey. Okay, we're going to stop in just a minute. you said Koinonia?
Yes, that's the name of the Bible study.
Okay. We're going to stop. We're going to pray together for him. But at the same time, you lead a Bible study group. You lead a Bible study group,
yes.
Right?
I'm a co-teacher. Several of us.
Yeah. So some of this, some of this is from experience. When you turn to your brother and say, well, let me tell you what you can expect. And Jenny, you co-lead?
I co-teach with him.
Yeah, we're the same.
How
same
wonderful. Place. Okay.
She's a newer teacher than I am.
Yeah, I've taught for about a year or
so. We're talking about you, but what's one thing you feel like you've learned that you want to pass on to a new teacher now?
Well, I think it is a huge responsibility, but to me, the rewards of, like you were saying, I learned so much of seeing how God could prepare me for a lesson and how God could use me to get to know the other people and to see them grow closer to God and be a part of that process of them growing closer to God is to me what's exciting about it. That's what
you can read that in the book, but when it starts happening to you and to
you
them,
it's
amazing. Would you feel uncomfortable? I'm setting you up. Would you be all right if we were to get around you and just pray for you right now? Okay. Now, why don't we all stand up? This is not just for you, but frankly, it's really for all of us because we're in your shoes too. Go ahead and stand up. We'll break. Ed, I'm going to ask you to lead us all in praying. Ma'am, you want to put your hands on it or just kind of know that you're being grateful, but honestly, this is very meaningful to us. Thank you.
Oh, Lord, lift our brother. Help him to understand that not only are his school teachers standing around him, supporting him, but that you are there and your Holy Spirit will open his eyes and give him words. Help him to look forward to the many things that you will teach him as he studies your word and finds that he can't teach it all in one lesson. And as you show him what it is that you want him to teach in a given lesson, strengthen him, give him courage, and bless him and his class. For us in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Before we sit down, thanks for letting us do that. Powerful for us. Look on the acrostic. I'm going to choose letter D. I want us to start thinking, we'll brainstorm. What are some words or phrases? Got to start with the letter D that'll help us think about our job as teachers. And you pick one of the other letters that have not been dealt with. We did one of the E's.
I'd say P would be the E.
Oh, okay. Then good. So let's first of all, let's just dialogue, let's brainstorm. What words or phrases that start with the letter D? We'll do that while we're standing.
Discipline.
Okay, good. Discipline.
Dialogue, discussion.
Dialogue, good. Thank you. That's inside the group, that's outside the group.
Daring. Also within God.
Okay, help me. Oh, wow. D. Anything else? I know there are many others.
Maybe daring.
Okay, what comes to your mind? That's a great word. What comes to mind when you think
to be bold enough to say whatever that the Lord put on your heart instead of because it may be get people uncomfortable that you may not want to say it.
That's really good.
Discipleship.
Disciple, discipline.
Discerning.
Delight. Divine. It's getting
devoted.
Okay, it's not a game. We're not just trying to come up with words, but I think by association, you hear one of those words, it's like, okay, here's how that relates to my job as a teacher, as I'm caring for others. Kind of fascinating. Let's get back to our seat, because our next letter was P, correct?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's just talk. What brainstorms? Got to start with the letter P.
Prayer.
Thank you. Prayer. Prayer warriors.
Possibilities.
Probabilities. And passion.
Fascinating. Isn't that interesting how passion and compassion come together in this? Mm-hmm. Provoking good deeds.
Plotting. Yeah, like taking steps.
Huh. And we'll remember this, it's a one step at a time. Jesus is looking at his disciples, and I'm expecting you to make disciples of others. I'm going to get you to start by watching me. That's interesting. So the letter P really does have a lot of possibilities. Don't overlook, and I'm just because it's up here, look at the word prospect. You know what that means?
Potential.
Okay. So part of what's going on is you got not just people you're trying to reach for your group, you got potential workers or potential leaders who are going to be raised up in your group. That's always fascinating to me. But since we're talking about shepherds, this is a little bit hard for me to put it on. That's just hard for me to even see in writing. But look at the last one. See, it doesn't just happen. You really have to plan for the caring to take place. If you have four people in the group or if you have 40, the reality is you really want to make sure everybody is connected. And there's a lot of different ways, so it's not just, you know, making sure everybody has a card or a letter written to them or a phone call, but frankly, you want to make sure somehow we're always staying connected with the folks. My wife and I are caregivers for a next-door neighbor. She's in her 90s, she has no family. She's very much in declining health, so it's not just trying to make it a sad story, but she probably is getting kind of close to the needing full-time care, and we are the legal guardians and all that kind of stuff, but she has wanted so much to stay in her own house. That's part of our objective. But she has been extremely connected to her Sunday school class for about 30 years. I mean, to the point where that was her family. She can't go anymore. She's homebound. As a matter of fact, her Sunday school class has basically died off as well. We're talking about the oldest ladies in the group, in the church. So there's, I think, other than her, there's two other ladies from a fairly large class for years. Only two others who are alive. Now, for years, here's what I'm learning from her. For years, that was the class that they would contact everyone just about every week to make sure that they're all right. They would care, they would take food. If somebody had to go to the doctor, they would be the one to make sure they got there. I mean, it was just the practical side, but they were family. So when I hear about the stories for years and years, I think about that kind of a Sunday school class. Not that they do everything for everyone, but they cared and they had it planned out. I had a conversation with this lady, her name's Kathleen, and she said, I missed my class. She said, I'd really like to go, but I just can't. And she said,
Can they come?
Well, the only two in that group can't. They'll still call each other, but part of the reason I'm trying to figure out this story is because others of us younger in the church have watched this group for years. We know how to care. And we've got to step up to the plate, not just for that group, but we know how to care for each other. And sometimes it's just that very simple practical sign. Someone in their class was assigned to write a birthday card for someone else in the group. That was their job. And I thought, that just sounds almost too predictable. But when it came time for the birthday, they knew that somebody was going to get a birthday card. Well, I'm not sure that sounds too extreme to you, but it also says to me, I want to make sure my people are taken care of. So I do think through this. Plan for caring by your group. Does that make sense? Now, your group may do it very different than somebody else's, but I don't want to get caught up in just, I got to prepare for the teaching, nor do I want to get overwhelmed with everything else. Part of what may be happening in your life is God may be saying, he's leading me to be prepared for a lot of the Bible study groups. I know we're going to rotate this. But guys, we can't leave out the fact that someone needs to be prepared to see these other needs are taken care of. To me, that was the genius of that little book. Not that the teacher does everything. Sometimes the teacher has to make sure that stuff is being done. Okay. We're almost finished with this acrostic thing. I think we will be finished. But I think some of the letters had double, there's two H's, is that right?
No. Two E's.
Two H's.
Two E's, two H's, yeah, yeah.
Two
so
H's.
I didn't want to overlook some of that. I like what we've already talked about. I like the fact that we were talking earlier about that cheering people on, the hooray. So I don't want to miss out on some of that. I also don't want to leave out what is the obvious. There's one of the E's, although we got the Exodus thing. I mean, the Ezekiel thing, that's what I meant to say. I don't want to lose out on what we started talking about in the first place. This whole thing is the following the example of Jesus. We are the recipients of being shepherded by the Master. Okay? I think that's cool. But also, we have that privilege of putting some of that in practice, because not only are we the being shepherded, we get to shepherd someone else and may not even know it. But sometimes that's very intentional. I don't know if you can read this well or not because it's the smaller print. But I'm going to read what you see on the screen under the example of Jesus, and then I'm going to ask you just to repeat it after me. Here's the statement. You are following his example. You are modeling his example for others. Let's just read that together. You follow his example. You are modeling his example for others. Now glance with me. I don't mean to sound so questioning, but have we covered all the letters? I know some of them had multiple. Okay.
Did we do D?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's where we're standing. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? So we know how to share, and we know our job. We know it's a bigger job than just teaching.
I have a
Joanne.
Question.
Thanks, dear.
And are you saying that that we have two roles, that the shepherd role and the teaching role, and they are different? But yeah, if you and
complementary, not different.
And say he said different, I mean complementary, not different, but I also hear you say different or distinctive.
Well, it follows the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So shepherd is not one of the gifts, but teacher and pastor. So I guess you would say the pastor would be the shepherd.
Ah, oh, how fascinating is that? Yeah, the word pastor literally means shepherd.
Shepherd.
Under shepherd.
So I think we just answered the question. Yeah, it's two different ways of looking at the same thing.
Pretty much.
So part of what that says for me is if I am looking as a teacher, if I'm looking at just the content side of the role, if I'm just trying to cover the lesson or just trying to get through the material, then I may be missing out on one of the most ingenious parts of the assignment.
You're probably trying to leave the Holy Spirit out of it.
Okay.
And we've all had teachers like that.
Okay.
Very dry and very.
Oh. Okay. And I think the power, the model that we see in Matthew 8 and 9. Where it is so masterful and the content that was taught is demonstrated because he was showing the care and the nurturing all along the way. I'm not sure how to answer all that, but that sure is provocative to me. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you've heard that 1,000 times. So do you want to answer your question again or ask your question again because it's an intriguing question.
Yes, and I think you've answered maybe part of it, or at least I'm seeing parts and bits of it. Earlier I said that the shepherd's role, the 23rd Psalm and all that is very difficult when you investigate what a shepherd actually does,
mm-hmm.
what their role is. But when you're talking about the teacher in that Sunday school class, that lady, you could be the teacher of the class and communicate information but yet not shepherd them properly so that you don't actually have what's needed by the people. They're not getting all that you're supposed to be giving them because you're only giving them one side and you're not shepherding. You're not communicating. In relationship, you're not showing them the love, you're not sending the cards, you're not making the phone calls, or at least you don't have someone who is, so that you're only doing half of the role.
What I have seen personally from that older lady's class, don't hear me saying that's the model or that's the way everybody needs to
right.
do it, but they were so careful to say, when we come together as a group, we will study God's Word. And that's what they're known for. They fellowship and all that other was important, but they had the lesson. They taught the scripture. That was extremely important. then the teacher would say, we have organized our class, and Joanne is going to lead us to focus on ministering to each other. So the teacher, at least in that case, understood her gifts and her role was to lead the group to study the scripture. She also knew her role was to make sure that the other was being done.
Her role was to plan it such that somebody would take care of it. Not she would, but somebody would.
Okay. Seldom. Now, this is just personal opinion, but it's a little bit personal experience as well. Seldom have I seen someone, a Bible teacher, who has the gifts and the time to do everything for everybody.
Typically,
and matter of fact, if they do that, they're jeopardizing by keeping people in the class from caring for each other. So I think all I'm trying to say is, no matter how large or small my group is, I need to make sure that the Bible teaching is taking place.
That's primary.
Okay. I need to make sure that the ministry is taking place.
That's secondary, because someone else should be implementing it.
Now, I think that's the point of the book. You make sure it's being done. Actually, as a teacher, you're also trying to raise up other teachers. Boy, that's not complicated. That's just how that works. Is that right, Jenny? You're kind of team teacher, however you call
it. At first, that's probably not a priority.
I'm trying to get through a lesson.
A new teacher, you're just trying to learn to be a new teacher and learn to shepherd, to try to bring someone else along at first.
Don't get overwhelmed, but it's kind of like, what am I doing here? You will survive.
Yes.
But I think, okay, what the Lord is doing, his disciples, Matthew 8, Matthew 9, he's saying, okay, you're going to change the world. Watch me. You see what I did? That's what you're going to do. And I don't know when they start getting it, but it was not anytime soon. So I'm not trying to brush that off, but I think the role of the shepherd is such monumental. And there's probably more people in your group who will connect with the shepherding than they will ever to say, oh, I could teach.
Mm-hmm. That's why In most small groups, you organize so that the teacher doesn't have the primary responsibility for these other jobs.
Okay. That's well said. I think that's really the heart behind that little booklet. Not that you're so much giving that away. You're still responsible for seeing that all that's done. But you probably best...
delegate.
Thank you.
If
there's
you
a good
have a
D word. Yeah, delegate.
If well you said. Have a director, the teacher doesn't have that responsibility.
Okay.
But if your director isn't there, then the teacher can't ignore it.
Okay. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah, it's a huge responsibility. But it's almost like you're learning to manage it from the very beginning. I'm responsible for caring for every person who's a member or a prospective member, and there's a million of them. Where do I start? Okay. We're almost finished. Is that all right to say?
Yeah.
But great question, though.
Yeah. And caring... The shepherd's responsibility is to care for their heart, mind, body,
yeah,
and soul.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, Lord, where do I start?
Yeah.
Okay. You got 6 more hours? No. But it does kind of start. Remember what you wrote down on the top of that white sheet. And I'm going to ask you to look at it. Jenny, you got it in front of you, right? What's one of the things? Shepherd, why? Because you've been shepherded. What's the second thing you wrote in there?
Because we get to care for our flock.
Okay. And then the third one?
Raise up more shepherds.
Okay. So it's not just linear. It's like that's all going on at the same time. I got some. Yeah, I'm gonna show you something. You don't have to take any notes. This is a picture of my son. His name is Ben. My son was in college, And he came home one day, he was wearing a firefighting outfit. That's not what we paid to send him to college to do. But he came home, he was so excited, he said, Dad, I'm going to be a firefighter. Now, I'm not sure if I can get this on, but you know, let me let you do it. He comes home, and he wears this firefighting outfit, and he says, Dad, I'm going to be a firefighter while at college. And so for the next weeks and months, he starts going, boy, I bet that brings back. Yeah, no. He tells me how he is going through firefighting training. And he describes very quickly over the next weeks and months. He says, Dad, I had a whole class on how to put the uniform on. Dad, I had
all the
and snaps. He'd do it just right.
And I'm not going to.
That's all right. I know it's very hot. So you can take that off whenever you want, but I'm going to hold this. He said part of the training was he had to learn how to go up and down ladders, sometimes two or three stories, carrying all the equipment, going in and out of buildings. He said he had to go through training to literally know how to hold a hose to put fires out. I think this is kind of silly, but he says, no, you had to even learn how to work together. There's a lot of details about that. These are pictures of him actually in the fire. I thought that's kind of cool. That's my little boy. He said, Dad, we went to a firefighting institute. We spent the whole weekend long learning how to actually put out some fires. I remember when he told me that for the first time. But here's the story. He said, they actually put us in a burning building. He said, don't tell Mom. And my job was to find two other of my partners somewhere in the building. We knew the building was on fire. My job was to find them, take my oxygen off, give it to them, and for us to get out of the building. And then he said, this is what threw me off. Dad, they blindfolded me. And I'm just all over the thing saying, what? He said, yeah, Dad, don't you understand when the fire, when a blaze is going on, you can't even see. All your senses are out of order. So what they're teaching you is how to use more than just one of the senses. It's interesting how they teach it. Finally, my son gets out of firefighting school. I'll get to go to his little to his graduation. He was a firefighter for all the state of Tennessee while he was a college student. That was kind of cool. And while I'm standing there, I want you to stand up, Ed. My son was standing with his captain, and I was just kind of listening in. The captain comes up and says to Ben, Apple, what'd you learn? And so my son starts saying, learn how to put my uniform on, learn how to hold the hose, he starts going through the routine. And then the captain stops him right in mid-sentence. He says, that is not what I was teaching you. Well, I got kind of riled up because I'm thinking, that is exactly what he told me that you were teaching him. I didn't say a word. Then the captain looks at my son and he basically says this. I have been teaching you that you are to learn to defy your greatest fears because our job really is to rescue people. This is a quote from the captain. And to pull people who are trapped in danger. Then the captain says, he's saying all this to my son. My son then turns around to me as we're leaving, and he says, oh, Dad, you and I have the same job now. Because our job
is to save people.
It's called search and rescue. I had never seen that before. It's not just evangelism. It's not just teaching. It's not just caring. It's not just ministering. It is sometimes you have to go into the fire with them. I never understood that, and I'm not trying to make it hard or harsh. But I tell you what, when I think of my job, I think of more than just the shepherd's crook and being nice and caring for and all that kind of stuff. I will forever think of my job and your job more like this. Well, my friends, I'm not sure what all you're thinking at this point. You came into a session, I'm not sure if you knew it or not, but you came into the session just talking about shepherding. So let me ask you, what's one thing you felt like you've learned in the last 45 minutes? We're 2 minutes from leaving. What's one thing you felt like you've learned
to complete the teacher has responsibilities other than teaching.
Thank you. What do you feel like you've learned? Anyone else? You have one of the greatest responsibilities in the kingdom.
Yes.
But part of it is you are giving that away. You are teaching, you're training other people. You don't have the monopoly on this. You never have. And God bless you for it. We really are leaving in just a minute. But one of the things that Joanne has in her hand is a gift card. It's really from the church. And I'm going to make an executive decision.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to give it
to Don
to represent the fact that there are a lot of newer teachers who you're going to help champion. Tell them a little bit about that. It's really a token.
Yes, it's a $10 gift certificate to Coldstream Creamery.
Okay.
And from the church. For you, all I need is your name and a phone number, please, sir, at the bottom there.
Can I get card number 3? Would that be?
No, that's just
that's for administrative purposes.
I just need your name and a phone number.
There's 2 or 3 more pictures I'm going to show you real quick because I get to. Ben finished college. he went on to finish medical school.
Great.
And so he's now a doctor. This is his daughter, Madison. They have a second child, but I want to show you his picture because, to me, that's one of my favorite pictures.
This is
his little boy, who is now a year old, who is in Ben's fire helmet. Ben says, I want to pass on to my kids what I've learned about search and rescue. Well, that's what you get to do, my brother. You're going to pass it on in more ways than one.
You'll find that you'll be teaching the rest of your life because you'll do it at your job. You'll do it with community activities. You get involved with volunteer jobs or Boy Scouts or RAs and things like that. You'll be teaching the rest of your life. You won't be able to get away from it.
It's a heart. I mean, it really is. Guys, I did bring several other copies of this little book.
Would you mind if I have one more for my other?
I've got plenty. And matter of fact, I'm going to make these available. Why don't you just take one for every person in the group if you want. I mean, I really do have.
I'll just take one.
Well,
I don't know how big the group is yet.
Well, I understand. Do the same thing for the others. These I'll just leave with the church, but I'm going to ask you to make sure that those are given to Ben. Guys, thank you for coming. I mean, not just for this session, but for being a part. Honored, Ed, to hear your story as well. John, Joanne, thank you, guys. Jan, my pleasure. Just great to be with you guys. I think we go from here back to the worship center.
No, we go.
No, that's right.
The gym.